Hello, everybody. Welcome to Comedy Film Nerds, episode 386. My name is Graham Miller.
And I'm Chris Mancini, and this is a very exciting day. This is Earbuds Day.
Earbuds Day. It's September 12th. Earbuds is now available on iTunes, on the Amazon,
yep.
Google, all over the place.
Yeah, so you'll be able to download it to your favorite device using your favorite platform now.
Yep. So,
I haven't seen it.
Dave Anthony, who's in the movie, that's our guest, Dave Anthony, ladies and gentlemen, who's in the movie.
I haven't seen it.
Sent him links. I've physically
you
put.
You physically gave me a DVD.
DVD. Mm-hmm. And
you, and sent one to my old address as well.
Yeah. So.
I haven't seen it.
Why?
My wife says it's very good. She enjoyed it.
Oh.
Well, that's good.
How come you don't watch this movie that you're
in it? I don't want to watch it.
Because you don't want to watch yourself.
No.
So, like, when you see, like, one of those TV commercials you did or whatever.
No, I can't stand it. Like, my kid wants to watch them, and I just turn them on and walk away. So, I can't. No.
But this is just, like, an interview. It's not like you're running around
going. It's even worse.
Why is that worse?
Because you're not playing a character? Because you're actually Dave Anthony in the movie?
A character is a little bit better, but if it's just me, I'm just like, ah, shut up. Like you guys feel like right now.
Why don't we play a clip from the movie? We have it. So we'll just show the parts you're in.
I want to chain you down and pry your eyes open Clockwork Orange style to make you watch this movie.
That's what it might take.
Yeah.
Well.
All right. We'll do a spoiler app then.
With that. We just need some money for eye drops.
Yes.
Everybody says it's very good.
And restraints. Yes.
I get compliments. People are like, hey, that was great seeing that movie. And, you know, I get that.
All right. That's good.
The people are like, you're not a total dick.
Could you watch the parts that you weren't in? Could you just?
Yeah.
Okay. Can you do that?
How? Is it easy to skip around me?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, especially if you do the DVD.
Can you give me an edited version?
There's an hour and 28 minute version that doesn't have Dave in it. Your section is about 5 minutes, 6 minutes, or something like that.
Yeah, it's not.
You're in a couple, and then you're in a couple scenes in the end when we all. Oh, spoiler alert.
Yeah, don't say.
But yeah, you could just skip the section where, because it's a complete section of you and Greg talking about when Greg relapsed.
Right.
And then there's a section of you talking about the tsunami and
the earthquake
Japan.
In Japan.
Oh, right.
An earthquake in Japan. So, but.
Shout out to Sandy, big fan of Japan.
Yes.
You're going to be famous today now. You and
Aaron,
the Hansen brothers.
Yeah.
Not me. I was cut from the film.
No, a different Aaron.
Everyone but Aaron.
A different Aaron.
Yeah. A better Aaron.
A girl Aaron.
Yeah.
Paige Branson, all the other fans. Yeah, uh-huh. they're now in the released film.
Yeah.
Did you think you were going to be in the film and then you watched it and you weren't? It was one of those?
No. I knew pretty early on that I wasn't. I didn't have the stuff.
No, we told Aaron right after the interview we're not using this.
I think when he heard me say don't turn the camera on before he started talking, I think that was.
You want to hear a great movie story?
Yeah.
My roommate in New York. Gets cast in a Demi Moore movie, and it's like, okay, here we go. And it's that Time movie she was in where she was in France and America at the same time, and it was like, or at different times, and there was some sort of weird time thing happening and two alternate realities sort of, and he was the only link between the two worlds. So he's in both the U.S. He's the only person on it. So he's like, well, I'm in it. And he's telling everybody. And I'm like, have you seen? He goes, no, I haven't seen it. And I was like, that's weird they didn't invite him to the premiere. And he
never
asks,
a bad sign. That's not a bad.
He gets, I mean, he filled the theater. The date opens. It's like 150 of his friends. God. And he's not in it.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
And he shot it for like 6 weeks.
Oh.
And they really had to carefully cut him out. Like it was
It was deliberate.
Oh.
Yeah, it was, yeah. And.
I remember, if we're going to tell painful fucking stories, I remember the short I directed, Hello Junkie, the Detective Ken Stryker short, and we got invited into this festival up in Portland, Oregon, and I have some family up there. And it's in some, like, indie theater, and, you know, one of those, all of Portland is the hipster section of Portland, but it was some section of Portland. And so we get there, and we walk into this big theater, and it's packed. And we're like, oh, sweet. I'm there with probably, I don't know, 4 or 5, like my sister, my mom, like, you know. And they, like, I think my girlfriend at the time and my, this is, I don't know, 15 years ago, my sister might have even had, like, I made up some Hello Junkie shirts with Stryker shooting a gun. Like, that was our logo. So everyone's, several people are wearing Hello Junkie shirts. And we get into this theater and it's packed. And I'm like, oh, fucking yeah. The big screen. I'm like, boom. And it's like, people are like, woo. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be a bumping crowd. We're going to get huge laughs.
I know where this is going.
And they're like, oh, no, no, the short movies are upstairs. And I go into this screen and it's the, like, they took a big classic theater that had a balcony and they shelved off the balcony and then put like a 15-foot screen up there.
Yeah.
So we're up there and there's me and my girlfriend and my sister and my mom and one or two other friends and then like one dude or something in the corner. Like, and we're all, you know, we're all there wearing matching shirts and this is the big debut. And I'm just sitting there like, oh. God, I spent so much. I mean, that we shot that on 35 millimeters. So this is over 15 years ago. So it was like that movie cost as much, if not more, than what I spent on doing Laughganistan, which is a feature film.
Yeah. Wow.
And it was like, oh, man, they're showing it on the big screen. And I'm just like, and, you know, my family loved it. And they're all being like, I'm six. Like, Graham, that was great. And I'm just like, oh, look at you. You did it. Yeah. And I was just like, and I was trying not to just like put a bullet in my head. Like, no one was there. I've seen, it doesn't matter. Right. Like, and then we'll all go out to dinner afterwards. And it's like,
but at one table.
Yeah.
That's funny because if I go to a film festival, I always want to go see all the shorts.
Well, right. I'll tell you my short story for Hit Clown when it was playing the Palm Springs Film Festival. It was up for the $15,000 prize. Mm-hmm. And when you're a short filmmaker and you make a short, you're like, that's significant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I got to meet some of the judges, and one of them actually said to me, it's like, you know, you got a lot of fans in that room. It's a shame, you really should have won. And then that's when I And then that's when I went, the awards are tomorrow. He told me a day early that I wasn't going to win.
That's like all the classic. I've heard so many comics tell their Star Search stories about how rigged Star Search was.
Right.
They check into the hotel. I heard so many comics because it was like, you never know. You might make it to the next round. And they would check in and be like, they're like, okay, sir, you're checking out tomorrow. Well, I don't know because I'm in Star Search. Oh, no, you're checking out tomorrow.
That's right.
I've heard a half a dozen comics tell me that story. No, you're done tomorrow. You're out.
When I was up for a WGA award, we went to the ceremony, and I sit down at the table, and I'm at a very far back away from the stage table, and I introduce myself to everyone, and I'm like, oh, we're all up for the same award. It's weird. One of us isn't here. And that guy's sitting way up near the stage. So we were just like, oh, we're at the loser table. Like, we already knew as soon as we sat down, we're like, oh, we lost.
Well, it's like that scene in Animal House, like Jugdish, Saram, or whatever. Yeah, like,
nobody in the back wins.
Yeah.
The way they seat them. Okay. So, all right. So let's talk about the big movie release this weekend. It.
All right.
Should we let our guest go first?
Yeah, Dave, you go first.
Now, Dave, did you see this alone? Did you go?
I saw it. Well, so my wife wanted to go because she likes going to scary movies. Mm-hmm. But just because the way it timed out, like, I had to go alone on Saturday night. Like, it just wasn't any other time.
So it's probably packed, though.
Well, that's the thing. It's kids. So I sat down. I'm like, oh, they're all fucking 15 and 14. So, I mean, literally when the movie starts, someone behind me farts really loud. Like, that's...
Fantastic.
Puts you in the mood.
But I was able to sort of
I wish that
block.
Kid was at my Hello Junkie screening in Portland 15 years ago.
But I was able to block it out. I used to read a lot of Stephen King. I stopped after a while. But it was one of my favorites. So I really... I generally don't like seeing movies if I've read the book.
And Stephen King generally doesn't have a great track record of adaptations under the big screen.
Well, they're hard because, let's face it, all of his shit goes bananas in the third act of the book. Like, just absolutely fucking crazy. And this was one of those. The ending is not the same, which was good because I kept thinking, God, I hope they don't end this the way they did in the book. So I went in. I'm a huge fan of creepy clowns.
Because this book came out a while ago.
A long time ago.
Because they did a one episode, mini series. It came out in 1990.
Yeah. I think it's been, Haven't they tried to make it twice?
It was adapted, yeah, as a miniseries. It had like Harry Anderson in it and a couple other people. Yeah.
John Ritter.
John Ritter.
Harry Anderson. Like John already Ritter. You've
John Boy from John, The Waltons.
That's right, yeah.
He's okay. He can act, but Harry
Anderson.
He had
a really bad ponytail in it, though.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah, I remember. And Tim Curry was
Richard
the...
Richard Thomas.
Oh, Tim Curry. Well, that's a good clown. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know who the clown was in this. Was it...
Bill Sarsgaard.
Oh, okay.
Skarsgård.
Skarsgård.
So I liked it because it's one of those movies you have to go in knowing, well, this is going to be kind of ridiculous and I have to step out of reality and, right. and just go with everything.
You got
to
suspend the disbelief.
If you cannot do that, you're going to hate this movie.
Right.
So I went in just knowing, well, there's a clown in the sewer.
Right.
And if you know that, then it's all fucking crazy. So I totally went with it. I really liked it. I thought the kids... were great acting mm-hmm. wise. I thought it was really funny that the girl is told like they found a new Molly Ringwald,
right?
They called her that in the movie. They made the joke.
And they did.
I was watching this. I was like, holy shit! This generation has a Molly Ringwald. Like that girl is mm-hmm. totally what that is. And yeah, I like the story. I know some things got. I heard people say some things got cut out. Like apparently the black kid has a huge backstory that they cut out, which is supposed mm-hmm. to be really interesting. So maybe that'll make it into the DVD director's cut or something.
It was a long movie for a horror movie.
It was like a long movie.
2 hours and 15 minutes.
But I was in the whole time. Like there was no, usually movies I get, I'm like, you could have cut out a big chunk of this. But because of all the kids that were involved and sort of the world that they created, like with the bad kid and all the other stuff going on, it held me the whole time.
Yeah, I have to say, I really liked it, too. I thought it was, you know, there was a studio note as it was being shot. Make this like Stranger Things, you know?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Because the book is set in the 50s, and then they just moved
I was trying to remember the
time
period.
They moved it up to the
80s,
and they even had a kid from Stranger Things in the movie.
Yeah.
So it's like, all right, well, you can't get much closer. I mean, they're on bikes, you got one kid, you're set in the 80s, now I got it. Yeah. Note implemented.
Yeah, totally.
So one of the things that I really liked about this movie, I thought the clown was creepy, I thought it had a lot of creepy parts to it, I thought it was generally scary as a horror movie. Mm-hmm. And I thought the kids were all really good. One of the things that it was for me is I brought my daughter.
How old?
She's 12 and a half.
She's four.
And
to never sleep.
Yes. And this was like her first, like, in the movie theater horror movie experience.
Yeah.
So it was, and she has been bugging me to see this ever since the trailers came out. Her and another friend, they really wanted to go, bugging me forever. And I always check the parents' guide. You know, to see what's in the movies.
Yeah.
But I knew this was kind of like had the Stranger Things vibe. It's like a really good entry level, you know, young teen horror movie for sure.
Yeah.
Because it's not like, you know, kids having sex getting killed at a camp. You know,
right?
Like it's not that kind of horror movie.
It's almost like a version of Nightmare on Elm Street that's more palatable for.
Right.
People, like more suspenseful.
Yeah. And I was looking at some of the trivia, and whenever Pennywise, his eyes look in two different directions, you know, when one would go the other, he said that wasn't a CG effect. The actor, Bill Skarsgård, actually did it, and that's what they used for the final film. So that made it even creepier when I read that. I'm like, oh my God.
It also said, too, that he was having nightmares, Skarsgård, when he got so into playing this character that he was losing his shit.
He was giving himself nightmares.
Yeah.
I could see that because he's great. And the clown, it's awesome. Like the way they do that, it's not too much.
Right.
It's just sort of enough. And the clowns fucking creep. Clowns are creepy, but they...
Yeah. They upped the creep factor for sure. I mean, just from the opening
scene. The opening scene is just...
Like, oh, my God.
That, when he's... That scene, the close-up, just the lights on his eyes where he's down in the sewers and the way he talks. You want to come in the sewer, Johnny, or whatever. It's like, it was so skeevy. I got to say, I didn't... I liked it. I didn't like it as much as you guys did. I felt like... I started looking at my watch. Mm-hmm. And I was like, they need to cut a half hour out of this movie.
Right.
I wish they would have gotten more into the story. They went from like one set piece nightmare to another. They were all really cool. They were all really inventive. But I was like, let's move the story along.
Right.
Is what I wanted a little more. And I think the Stranger Things bar was set so high. And the other trivia is that they were looking at the Duffer Brothers to do this.
To direct this. And then they said, nah, not famous enough.
And then they did Stranger Things.
Yeah.
Well, I get what you're. Here's the thing, though. So if you cut, like, if you read the book, it's very true to the book in the sense that it paints the town. Like, mm-hmm. it's right. about the town. And so if you cut stuff out, then you're cutting that out.
I mean, I see that. I was sort of wrestling with it because after
the
movie.
Are the people creepier in the town, like in the book?
Yeah, they're all fucked up in the town. That's, like, you definitely got a taste of it.
Mm-hmm. You got a taste of it. I think I think that's sort of what I was missing, is I wanted a little more explanation or showing me how more of the town, because it became obvious, well, the town knows this goes down and they're just okay with it. So
yeah. Every 27 years.
Yeah, every 27 years they just sort of let this happen and they're okay with all these kids missing. So I felt like I wanted a little more from that, and I wanted, I got the whole, it's kids not being believed and kids, like, you know, obviously, like, the girl is... being abused by her dad. I mean, and then, like, so all the kids are, like, being, you see the kind of abuse that they're dealing with from the adults and sort of how creepy the adults are and how adults can be pretty creepy and evil.
There's not one redeeming adult in that film.
No.
There's not one.
No, and that... I think that's part of the book too. That's sort of what it's about with the town, is the town is fucked up.
Right. Right. Now, I also noticed there were some Easter eggs. I haven't read the book, but I knew a little bit about the story where there was supposedly, like, a spirit helping them in the book that took the shape of, like, a turtle.
Yeah.
And I know there was, like, some Easter eggs in there of where, like, the kid had a turtle Lego in
his room. Let people know, by the way, we're going to do a spoiler up on this, so we'll go into
the details
on the ending. But
But I think there was, like, a lot of stuff that, you know, for people who had read the book too. It seems like in the movie.
Can I do the spoiler of the book? That's not in the.
Yeah.
Because they all fuck at the end. So one of the things about defeating the clown is they can't be virgin. Remember that came up. One of the kids said it. This is also interesting. He said, "What we can't be virgins or something." They all fuck her in the sewer.
I think it's after they.
Was it after?
Yeah, after they kill the clown. Like, it's a cathartic release after the.
They all fuck at the end.
Oh,
five guys and the one girl.
Yeah. They're like gangbanger.
Oh,
or
my
they
God.
Take turns. They take turns, but they all lose their virginity to each other. And
that's
and again,
in the book.
They all lose their virginity to her.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and then
they have sex with each other?
No,
they have just sex with her. But then I think she was being abused by her dad in the book too, which is a weird which is a weird thing to me, because they
didn't put that in the movie.
Yeah, of course. No, it's terrible. But then, because the dad was like that, if you've read the book, it's throwing you off the whole time. You're like, oh God, are these kids gonna all fuck at the end? So it throws you off.
Oh, interesting.
And they can't put that in a movie,
right?
Because it's horrifying.
And this is also the first half, because the rest of the book is them as adults.
Right. And so that's what I was wondering. Like, are they going to do that as adults, or are they going to come back? Or are they going to come back 27 years later?
They're going to be. They're definitely making another movie with.
So they come back 27 years later, and they're adults.
As adults, yeah.
But I was wondering if they would come back 27 years later with a new group of kids. That's what they did in the 80s, right? So.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I don't think they are. I think they're going to do more the adults, from what I read.
Yeah, It Chapter 2 has already been announced. They don't have a production schedule on it, but my guess is it'll be 2 years from now, 19.
Right. Do you think, I mean, I don't know how old she is, but do you think they'll get Molly Ringwald?
That would be great.
I would love that.
They could.
I would love that. I don't know. Like, I will say this to about this film. Every time I was starting to get, like, a little bored, then something interesting would happen that
was
sort
well-paced.
Bring me back into it.
It wasn't the kind of thing, movie two, they could have easily made a mistake. Well, you're not going to see much till towards the end. No, you saw shit from beginning to end in this movie,
yeah,
which was the way it should have been, for mm-hmm. sure.
Yeah, but it's.
I can't wait around it. I know there's a creepy clown in this movie. You can't wait until the third act to show it to me.
No,
I need to see it sooner.
As we talk, like, I don't go to horror movies. I don't really like them. Part of me was like, oh God, why am I watching this?
Yeah, I know. This was a journey for you.
But I think the Stranger Things aspect of it allowed me to do it.
Right.
Because I mean, I would ah, out of my when I was watching Stranger Things in my house, I would like freak out watching that. So I had some great scares, and and then would laugh like it was a
cathartic.
Yeah,
release.
So I like that. I mean, it was. I'm not. I this type of horror I can handle.
Right? Yeah, it's it's actually funny because when I came back, my wife was like, did you like it? And I was like, yeah, but you wouldn't because she doesn't like that type of horror. She likes the type of horror where it's like, could it be real? Oh. You know, and she doesn't like it when it's like a clown in the sewer. She's right. Like, well, I'm out.
Yeah, like a creepy dude that is he evil kind of. That's the kind of horror she likes.
Yeah, or like a demonic possession. Is it real? Like that actually happened? Amityville Horror,
kind Paranormal of, Activity, which you like, where you don't see a lot, something like that.
Yeah, suspenses. Yeah, that kind of stuff.
All right.
How much creepier do you think it would have been if Cary Fukunaga hadn't left, True Detective director? He walked away from the project.
He did.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. About 2 years ago. Yeah.
Wait, was he the first season or second season?
First.
Oh, shit.
God. That would have been.
That would have been something. That first, guy can fucking paint a picture, man.
The first season of True Detective is the creepiest, skeeviest thing. I mean.
It's a work of art, man.
It's.
That one where the guy is just walking through the field with the fucking mask on and shit. Just that image is burned into my mind.
The words. Sarkoza, whatever it was. That word was creepy. Just the way people would say it. I'd be like, oh, what the fuck kind of bayou?
Yeah, then what happened with season two?
New director.
Yeah, it was different director.
Here's what I'll say about season two of True Detective. If you put that on its own, it'd be a decent cop story.
Right.
I don't know if it would.
I honestly don't know. I think you'd be like, well, that was decent. But if you put it next to the first season, it looks awful.
So the writer lifted a lot from a philosopher in the first season. So he took passages from a philosopher, I believe didn't tell people that he was doing that and passed it off as his own dialogue, but he was lifting a lot of the stuff. And also he was getting a lot of notes. And then in the second season, he was allowed to do what he wanted. And yeah.
So maybe he chose not to take any more philosophy.
But he really, like, the second season is really a guy into his dialogue.
And it's just a cop drama. The first one is like it's psychotic mystery.
Well, the first one is two guys having breakdowns and there's a fucking crazy murder happening and they're trying to, and it's fucking full of darkness and like the whole fucking thing. And then you're right. The next one's like, hey man, they took over my club. Like, it's just like, it's just such a departure, and who gives a fuck about Vernon and that the fucking oil refinery city? Who gives a shit?
Oh, nobody. Yeah, it's like somebody cares. Wanted to make an L.A. Like an L.A. Confidential or a Chinatown TV series.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. We'll make
good
this.
Luck.
Well,
yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
The first one, yeah, it wasn't just a serial. It was this weird, creepy, and then everyone was creepy in the first season.
Well, the acting was astounding.
Astounding.
And then you can't go from that to Vince Vaughn is fine, and Colin
Farrell, yeah.
They're fine, but they don't have the depth and the inner turmoil going on that Woody Harrelson, whose dad killed someone and went to prison, and who knows what the fuck happened in McConaughey's background, but those guys got some fucking shit to tap into. And Vince Vaughn and Colin Farrell don't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. That's the thing. Like, I think and as you uncover the characters that McConaughey and Woody Harrelson's backgrounds and their history and the way they did the back and forth of, like, he's in the interrogation room now, and then he's all kind of haggard looking because he's been living off the grid like a wingbird, and then they go back to him, you know, and he's, you know, they make great points in the first season too of, like, you know, he lost his kid or something, so he's just like, he just shut down. There's a part of himself that completely shut down, which is totally understandable, but then he is this fucking savant detective.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know? And it's perfect for Matt McConaughey's crazy, like, oh, yeah, man, you're gonna write it in a book or whatever. Yeah. Like,
he's, I think, good he just, at that.
He just walked right from that and then just, like, got into Lincoln and then did those wacky fucking Lincoln commercials.
That was with the same voice. Like,
that was just a bad. I know you need money or whatever, but that he shouldn't have done that.
What any other parting thoughts on it before We do the spoiler.
Love to hear what everybody else thinks about it, and we'll do the spoiler. And you know, email us, either put it in the YouTube comments or on Facebook or whatever. Let us know what your thoughts on it, because a lot of people seem to really like it. I wonder if I'm the only one that had the problems with the length.
No, yeah, I walked out of the theater, and a kid who was about 16 yelled, "That was fucking shit." So there's other people that didn't enjoy it.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's slang for he loved it. Yeah.
Hey, buddy, let it in.
Yeah.
Be vulnerable.
Be vulnerable.
So, all right, we're going to talk more about it in the spoilers. So now we have a sponsor. First, we'll do the Patreon sponsor, Frightfully Uninformed. We are a podcast that watches mostly classic horror movies to figure out horror movie fandom. FrightfullyUninformed.com. That is the $50 Patreon tier. Do not forget the Patreon.
Yeah, so you get that. We're going to put them, as we started already, into the spoiler app. So you get more episodes where we'll say your whatever your business or URL is. So mm-hmm. you get that for the $50 level. It's a great way to support the show.
Yep.
And
our big sponsor, HelloFresh.
Oh, delicious.
Now, I've been enjoying HelloFresh ever since they became a sponsor. What I love about them is the meals are great. They're always nutritionally proportioned. Like,
they're
everything's
making
got
more
a
money off of this show than they're paying us, because
pretty
you guys
much,
buy...
yes, okay. Because we, we're...
it's yeah, like a casino where they pay yeah. you in chips.
Yeah, that's, you know, I swear half the podcast advertisers, they make their money back from the hosts. How much money we spend on Touch of Modern and other places. So HelloFresh is really great because we are on the family plan, so it's a meal for four. And they're easy to prepare. There's always fresh vegetables to chop up. There's always really good food. And we've been enjoying it for months. And the thing that I like now is they have more choices. Like, it used to be you could only have like two or three. Now it's like four or five choices you could pick. The kids are a little pickier. They still don't like kale, no matter how much we try to feed it to them and how much HelloFresh keeps sending it. they don't need to put kale in everything. But it's great. We'll continue to use it, and it's a great way, especially for a family, or if you're busy, you don't have time to get all the ingredients.
Yeah, that's the thing I like about it. I mean, I like cooking, but I'm not going to get all this long list of specific shit. I'm not going to go to the store and get like half a lemon wedge or whatever. Like, they send you everything that you need
in the right proportions,
and it doesn't. I always found like cooking to be a little daunting. Like, it's too much work, but they make it really easy.
They do make it really easy, because I'm not a big fan of cooking either, and this is stuff that I can actually do.
Nice.
But we're not going to let you guys pay full price.
No, we're not assholes.
No. today's show, like we said, is brought to you by HelloFresh. Please visit HelloFresh.com and use the promo code ComedyFilmNerds30 to save $30 off your first week of deliveries when you subscribe. That's HelloFresh.com. Use the promo code ComedyFilmNerds30. Save $30 off your first week of deliveries when you subscribe. Do it. You got nothing to lose, really. You try it. You like it, keep it. If you don't, you know, you can cancel it at any time.
HelloFresh!
Thank you. Thank you. One of the kids from Newsies is here to push HelloFresh.
We're at 28.
Okay. Speaking of, Aaron, how was your honeymoon? We didn't get into
it. Did you
this.
Do it?
Yeah, it was amazing. We were in Europe for the last 2 weeks.
Were you really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Paris, London, Italy.
How's Paris? How'd they treat you?
It's great. Yeah. They were way nicer than the Italians.
Really?
Yeah, which I expected more, knowing you.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
We're
also in Italy earlier.
Yeah.
Like, a lot longer, so. So, yeah.
Did you, like, how much?
It's a lot of travel. You went everywhere.
Yeah.
How much, like,
my feet hurt.
Do you guys do a lot of, like, tour guide stuff, or do you a lot of, like, sort of, like, bum around?
Yeah, just a lot of our own, what do we want to see today? Okay.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you do a lot of fucking?
Now that just made me think of the ending of the book of It.
Yeah.
Now again.
Yeah, I mean, did you guys get into a sewer?
With a demonic clown? Yeah. And was it Italian?
I mean, there were possibilities. There are catacombs everywhere.
Yeah, it was, you know, it was a honeymoon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? There were a lot of catacombs.
Did you find a cask of Amontillado?
What?
All no. Right.
So the food's better, right?
Oh, yeah. So
it's amazing when you leave America and you realize how shitty our food is. Like, we've just got this giant agribusiness shit. And then you go somewhere else and you go, whoa, what's this taste thing?
And just pasta alone is better in Italy. Yeah.
Well, I've heard this. I've heard people that have developed, you know, the celiac disease, you know, that and they've had to go gluten-free. and then they go to Italy and they eat wheat pasta,
and they're fine.
And they're fine because we've pumped up steroids or whatever into our wheat, so our wheat is so much thicker and has like 10 times more gluten in it. So that's why all these people develop this gluten problem in this country. And then you go to Italy and it's like, and the portion size, you know, you're not like
it's a little smaller.
Even if you drink wine, you don't get hangovers in there because we put all this shit in our wine. We legally have to, and there they don't. And if you drink a lot, you can just drink wine, and you wake up next morning like do 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 do. Like it's
the beer is better. Like you know, at first you're like, oh, why would I want to drink room temperature beer? That sounds
and
awful.
Like, oh, yeah.
And then you drink it, like, oh, this is fantastic. This is how it should be. Oh, it's cold here because it tastes worse. Now I get it. So,
did you miss All Things Comedy, Aaron?
Yeah,
it missed you.
Did you miss? Did you miss America?
It's hard to come back.
Did you just wear? Did you get didn't vote for him shirt?
Yeah. Did you get detained at customs?
No, not at all. Yeah, they were very nice. We didn't.
Well, you wore your earbud shirt.
I did.
So yeah, that's.
I wore it at the Louvre.
Yeah.
For real?
Yeah.
Where else would you wear it?
Yeah, come on.
And it's true. It's a piece of art.
It's like a global.
That Dave refuses to look at.
Yeah. It's
I
a
won't
global
go to the
passport.
Louvre either.
It's too weird. The Louvre is weird.
I wore my tinfoil hat shirt at the Vatican.
Oh, fuck yeah,
that's kind of a fuck you.
Yeah.
And that's weird. Cool. The Italians weren't as nice to you.
Desecrating the Vatican. Way to go, Aaron.
Way to shit on the Pope, dude.
Yeah.
What else did you do?
Oh, you know, we spent a half day
in
Venice.
Tipped over a canoe in Venice?
No.
Beat up some foreigners.
Beat up some foreigners.
I definitely wanted to at certain points. Like, you walk past the Colosseum and everyone is attacking you. Like, you want to get inside, you want to skip the line, you want to skip the line. It's just like, fucking, just wow. You know, throw an elbow at some of those guys after a while.
Right.
Well, how do they get you inside?
They just have, like, a tour guide.
They've paid off a guy to get you in? Jesus,
exactly,
come on.
Wow.
Come on, can't we have some respect
for the Roman Colosseum?
The ruins?
Yes. Just bring your own lion.
What was the same? It was the same at every place, you know? It was the same at, like, practically the same guys at the Eiffel Tower.
They just followed around in a group?
Yeah. It was kind of bizarre. Hmm. But there's a whole industry, you know, dedicated to just selling you water. Next to an old building. I mean, ancient building, but yeah.
Fair enough.
What's the point of going to Europe? I could do that here.
Yeah.
So how much of this had you been to Europe before or never?
No, never at all.
Same with your wife, or she'd been there? Or?
She spent the summer in college in Paris. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So she spoke French, so that helped.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I haven't been there. I've been to the islands near it. I've been to Iceland and England, but not Europe.
I've been to Paris. I loved Paris. I loved getting crepes on the street.
Paris is a place I still want to go to. I haven't been there yet.
Oh, it's fantastic. But I've never
been to Rome. So people just throw crepes on the street and then you pick them up?
Yeah, like a wolf, like a dog, like just an animal. You just scurry around and you see a bunch of dumb Americans. Yep. You're like, crepe.
There's a bowl of water.
Yeah. And then they hose you off like Planet of the Apes.
That's nice.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
I did trek halfway across Paris to go to the Cinematheque Museum because they have stuff from like... Mm-hmm. Chaplin's Modern Times, Metropolis. Nice. It was closed. Closed for months and was opening the day we were leaving.
Oh, yeah. That's brutal.
Oh, fuck.
Well, you got to ride the subways, huh?
Yeah.
You got to you got to change trains.
You should have looked at the internet.
Yeah.
Don't you have
internet
America?
In America? I don't know what country I'm from.
Yes,
I'm from Istanbul, maybe.
We post ours online.
Chris, is it Dracula?
Yeah,
Who's getting
blah.
And then we suck your blood.
And then you can see the robot from Metropolis. Blah.
You're listening to Worse Accents on the
Welcome.
ATC Network.
Yeah.
Hello. I'm from China, I am. Hello, mate. You want to buy some water by the Chinese wall, which a great one it is.
Trailers.
We're glad you're back, Aaron.
Yeah.
We're
Welcome
glad you're back.
Thanks.
Brenton did a fine job.
He did.
He was thrown into the fire.
Oh, yeah. My God. Yeah.
It was not his fault.
Literally, the hills of Burbank were on fire.
Literally, yeah. There was a fire miles from here.
He was also thrown into the Colosseum with the lions.
It was fun. Yeah. Fun watching it going, is my house going to burn down? Yeah.
And then that crazy rainstorm.
And the rainstorm. Shut it out. We were just sitting there. It was like, oh, it's pouring. Oh, it's over.
Never rains this time of year.
Yeah.
Nuts. All right, let's watch some trailers.
Let's talk about Thor Ragnarok, the final trailer, and we'll see if it's the final one or not. They always there's always extra
they had me at the first one. I'm fine, but this one is like and Hulk are talking or whatever.
Yeah,
what were you saying?
Having a moment.
I mean, you can't. I'm sorry, you just don't get to change characters. No one has a conversation with the Hulk. You don't sit around and shoot the shit with the Hulk. He's the Hulk.
No.
He's fucking mad. But they were like, you know, man, the Hulk's just so one-dimensional. We gotta have him interacting with the characters more and make him more likable. Why don't we just have him shoot the shit with somebody? He'll sit around and talk, maybe play poker with the guys.
David Banner, that's his job.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's the alter ego.
The
that's
duality
the point
of the, of the two men.
It's not as if, you know, Thor can sit and talk to David Banner or Bruce Banner. That's fine.
Yeah.
Batman doesn't go to charity balls. You know what I mean? Like, it's two people.
Wayne.
It's two things.
So, but, you know, we're already on board with this movie. It's one of those things, too, where is it necessary to give me four or five trailers? No, it isn't. You know, it's like Guardians of the Galaxy. How many trailers were you? You don't need that many.
Well, they don't. Marvel. You honestly don't need any trailers because people are going to go to Marvel movies.
Right.
The people have checked out. Like, I'm out. I've checked out of the Marvel movies.
Mm-hmm. Why?
They're
Which one did it for you?
Guardians of the Galaxy did it. Where
the
everyone,
second one?
The first one. Because everyone's just like, they're so great. They're so great. And I go in and I go, it's still a cookie cutter. Just put it in place. It's very, I get it. There's some funny stuff in here that you stole from a friend of mine's comic book, but.
okay, now we're getting.
No, into, but into I didn't the... even know that. I didn't even know that when I went to see it. But it's just, they're just all the same. At the end of the day, the plots are all the same. It's all the same. And at some point, I just got bored of it.
Right.
And I stopped. Like, you need to have a variety of movies out there, and we just don't have that now. It's just all superhero movies, and at some point I'm like, okay, I've seen superhero movies. Mm-hmm. Like, if it was just fucking all westerns, you'd be like, okay, I got it. Yeah, the guy shoots the guy, and then you know, they ride around a little bit. Like, it's just all that to me.
There's a lot of cowl and cape stuff out there right now.
I mostly watch them on airplanes now. Mm-hmm. I just saw Doctor Strange on airplane, I was like, yeah, that's what they are. Everyone was saying how great Wolverine was, so I mean, that's the funny thing is I have so many friends, Patton and Brian and all that, Brian Posehn, all these guys who were so into it. No, you got to see this one. This is the one you got to see. And I go see it. And I go, no, it's the same. They're all the same to me. There's no change. So I don't know. I mean, I see how people are like, they've created this big world. And I'm like, it's all just the guy does the thing at the end. And then he feels a little bit weird. Oh, is my power too much? Or I'm having an existential crisis. And then, no, this is what I do.
So that's, the Marvel that's Universe Marvel in 10 seconds.
So if you're wondering why we've never had Dave Anthony do a Marvel spoiler up.
Now you know.
That's,
But we might have him in to do a spoiler up of this next film. 50 Shades Freed.
Holy
so,
shit.
So I'll tell you, I was watching this trailer. Holy I've actually
she gets
suffered,
married? Like,
she
what gets, happens?
Yeah, married. Mrs. Gray will see you now.
And then it becomes a Jason Bourne movie or what?
Yeah, now they're on a beach in like Europe and walking around.
My favorite part of the trailer was when she goes, this is your place. I'm like, you don't know he's rich by now? You've been in his helicopter.
You've been fucking banging this billionaire weird sex creep for fucking third movies.
You're still surprised?
To him.
I know. Yeah. Are you really still rich? Yeah. What the fuck? You remember when I spent $1 million on our wedding? Well, I didn't know. Maybe we ran out.
And, you know, it's a great movie about how to ignore warning signs in a relationship.
Why did you look right at me when you said that, Chris? You looked directly at me when you said that.
And then at the end, like an umpire comes
Dave
in and grabs
her.
An umpire grabs her from behind as if there's the black hat and he's all in black and he's like, and you're supposed to be like, ooh, suspense. What the fuck? It comes from out of nowhere.
Umpires have a right to defend themselves. You can't just go yell at them and check, you know, stand their ground.
So it really felt like it was like the Lord of the Rings did where, okay, what are they shooting all of these at once? Because it's just literally one ridiculous scene after another just kind of put together and called a movie. I think we will have Laura House on again to defend these. She does her best to defend these movies.
That's got to be hard. Why would you do that to her?
It's she volunteers.
She volunteers. She likes these movies. She likes.
She I can't believe I respect Laura. I think she's a smart person, and I refuse to believe that she legitimately enjoys these movies.
I think it's sort of. I think it's a guilty pleasure for her.
Yes.
I think she kind of likes bad.
Did they show like some hot fucking, like, is it like a rated R?
It's a hard R for sure. It's a hard R. But it's they have such little chemistry, the
oh,
two
really?
Leads, that it's like, it's almost, even the sex scenes are like,
Well, they seem very much like, let's just get two hot people
and put them together.
And put them together instead of like,
that's really what it feels like. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's you and Melanie Griffith have something in common. She won't watch her daughter in the movies either.
Is that her daughter?
So, yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Remember before the Academy Awards, they actually had an argument on camera. It's like, you didn't see the movie. I don't have to see it. I know you were good in it. And then you could see like her daughter
like,
Mom, rise. Mom,
oh my God.
Your mom doesn't want to get you. Who, a fan? Then
a fan. But yeah, because your mom doesn't want to watch you get torture banged in a movie.
That's right.
What parent wants to watch? I love when I watch my daughter get choked while she's getting drilled from behind.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need to see that.
On. No. No, I.
Oh, that's what my daughter looks like when she's coming with hands around her neck.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You know, I don't say this often, but Melanie Griffith has a point. You know,
she didn't like getting her hair pulled when she was a kid.
Right. Wow.
So
it's weird, but
it's
weird.
They're reviewer proof too. You know, there's just a certain amount of people who enjoy the books. They're going to watch the movies.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
Right.
So, it's like a soft. Franchise. It's like the Saw franchise.
Which they're doing another one.
Oh,
yeah,
fantastic.
They are. Yeah, they got to reboot it.
But you know what, though? Those are the kind of movies that they'll just be able to make a million of.
Yeah.
They'll just
like,
keep going.
Because the theme is like, you know, bad people get stuck in a place and they have to eat their arm off to get out. Like,
yeah.
And people are going to watch that over and over again.
Yeah. Which might be the same plot as 50 Shades Freed from what we've seen. We have no idea.
No, in this one, people in the audience chew their arms
to get out.
Yeah,
all right.
I just hope when I see the movie and I come out, some teenager yells, "That movie was shit."
Yeah, it was the best. It just made me so happy. I was like, oh, you can't suspend your disbelief because you're 16. You can't go with it. You live in a world now where back in my day, you could totally suspend your disbelief, but now it's much harder for them to, I think.
So, Dave, what's your favorite genre of film? What are you not tired of?
Well, I love horror, but suspense horror. I don't like slasher. Like Eli Roth is the devil to me.
You don't like torture porn.
Like I don't think there's a worse filmmaker than Eli Roth. I watched, it was on HBO, that one
Hostel.
The jungle one where they get eaten by the...
Oh, my God.
I watched half of that, and I was just like... I wanted to go over and slap him. Like, just fuck you. You're just showing people being torn apart for no fucking... There's no point.
That's all he does. That's what he does.
It's just like, anybody could do that. There's no... You're not making a film. So,
So what are the suspense ones that you do like?
This is where I always forget. I like the Conjuring.
The Conjuring was a good movie.
Ones,
yeah. Now, how many of those have you seen in the Conjuring universe?
I've seen all of them.
So you've seen.
Oh, wow. So you just like when a new one comes out, you're like, I'm in.
Yeah, I'll go see it. Annabelle wasn't very good.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, the first one was actually a really well-crafted and put-together horror movie because it was kind of, you know, quote, based on true life, you know, but it doesn't matter because it was actually put together in a believable, grounded way that it was generally spooky and scary.
Yeah.
So I thought I didn't see the second one. How was the second Conjuring movie?
Not as good as the first, but okay.
Yeah.
The Annabelle thing is they're going way off now.
That's almost like the spinoff for the movie.
Yeah, it is a spinoff. It's a doll spinoff.
Yeah.
Which you don't hear very often. But but I think, from my childhood, there was a creepy doll movie that I can never forget. And it's
what
not
was it called?
The Karen Black was in it. I don't know what it was
is
called.
It Magic? It's not the dummy one with
it wasn't a dummy. It was an actual doll that lived in the house. It was like girl gets a doll, it's fucking evil or whatever. And it was super fucking terrifying. It's very hard to fuck up a scary doll movie, and they did. they made it to be a franchise instead of just trying to make it to be a good movie. They made it in the past. It's like maybe the 30s, 1930s. Mm-hmm. And so it just, I don't know, that kind of shit's just not, when it gets into horror and you're doing that kind of thing, it doesn't really work. It's kind of, you kind of got to be in your world.
Well, one of the things, too, that these movies, unfortunately, is everything needs to be an extended universe now. It's like, oh, the Conjuring universe. So you're already hamstringed by, like, what this has to be in here. This has to do this. This has to do this. It's like, just make a scary movie.
They
can. Like Cloverfield and, you know, what was the other one? The Cloverfield Lane? Like,
well, they're making a Cloverfield. You guys know this.
Right.
So Cloverfield is I don't know which studio makes Cloverfield. But you know, they have Marvel, they have DC making their world, they have now the Universal making the monsters.
Oh, the Dark Universe.
And what were we just talking about?
We were talking about Cloverfield.
Cloverfield is their universe.
And it's not Paramount
Pictures.
Okay, so Paramount is building out Cloverfield as their,
because that original other movie was just called The Bunker. It didn't have anything to do with it. They just stuck it in the Cloverfield universe. Mm-hmm. It was a good movie.
And do you want to know what Sony's building out?
Sure.
Ghostbusters.
Building out Ghostbusters?
Yes.
Wow.
So that's going to be their expanded universe movie. The only one that I really love that I'm liking is the Universal. I like the monsters. I really like King Kong.
Oh, buddy, you should have seen The Mummy. That might have changed
your is The Mummy part of that?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Dark Universe. Actually, isn't King Kong and, like, Godzilla kind of separate from the Universal monsters? Like, isn't that Wolfman, Mummy, Dr. Jekyll?
Yeah, well, that's an interesting point. Yeah,
that's not the same. That's
I thought, right, so the Mummy is part of the...
It's part of, like, the Universal's Dark Universe, where it's the classic monsters.
Oh,
where it's not the big ones.
The big
and
ones,
and
okay.
Those don't work, because that was a different time. And that it well, our clearly. Fears then don't translate to our fears now, and so the Mummy and Dracula and all that shit.
Wait a minute. I think there is a way to update these monsters. This just wasn't it. Like when we had another guest on, a horror director, Mitch Garris. He was saying that, you know, Clive Barker was doing a take on the Mummy, and I'm like, well, yeah, I'd like to see a Clive Barker take on the Mummy, and then. Like, nope, we got Tom Cruise's take on the Mummy.
Yeah, which is out on DVD, guys.
And here's the thing. So to make a movie like that, you have to have stars in it, right? Tom Cruise doesn't just attach himself to a movie. He brings in his writer.
Right.
So I had a friend who wrote a film, and he calls me up, and then he goes, and he's a big writer, and he calls me up, and he goes, fuck, the fucking movie's fucked. I go, why? He goes, Tom Cruise just attached himself. Immediately he was taken off, they brought a new writer, and he just destroyed the script.
Right.
He just has a buddy who's a Scientologist who comes in and ruins scripts. That's his job.
Right.
And then you get the Mummy.
It's good work if you can get it.
Yeah.
Can I be a Scientology script ruiner?
Yeah.
So as long as, like, a Tom Cruise is attached, and it's, and like, you can do shit like
Tom Cruise
Mission Impossible, because what's really to it? What are you going to fuck up there? But with a Mummy movie, it's gotta scare you, and it's gotta be real, and it's gotta have a thing to it.
You could update that. You could update the Mummy correctly.
Well,
where
if you want
to
get angry, watch the movie. I think you'll
watch it with your buddy.
Yeah. And you'll see it. Like,
it's just, you know what they're gonna do with it, and it's gonna be stupid. That's why I say, like, that stuff doesn't translate, because they're trying to take something from the '50s and update it, and I don't think the studios have the capabilities of doing that. Mm-hmm. Like, you can do it with King Kong, because it's fucking King Kong. He's going to run around and smash fucking helicopters.
Skull Island as Apocalypse Now. I mean, I was so on board with that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, so The Mummy is coming out on DVD Blu-ray.
Don't see it.
Yeah.
You can miss it.
That's what you're telling me. I mean, that's one I wouldn't even watch on an airplane. I'd be like, Tom Cruise and The Mummy. Okay, I'm not going to
miss it. You would have been angry about the time wasted.
Like, if you were, like, on a long flight, you would have, like, all right, and halfway through would have gone, God damn it, and not watched it, and been like, I'm checking out of a movie on a plane.
Yeah.
Speaking of movies on a plane, I watched The Great Wall with Matt Damon.
Oh, my God. How was that,
Aaron?
Monster
ponytail movie.
Not bad.
What?
Really? Not great, mm-hmm. but not bad.
So the wall was built to keep out dragons, so that you believe.
No, monsters.
They're monsters. Yeah.
Monsters.
Was it really?
Yeah.
The Great Wall.
Yeah.
The Great Wall.
Well, China said
that's
we're going
really, to. That's really.
China said
I mean,
we're
that's
gonna,
really offensive to the Mongolians.
And they needed a white guy to defend it.
Yeah. And, so, you know, they're going to build a wall, and they're going to get the monsters to pay for it.
Yeah. Making Mongolia great again.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, it was just a big Asian film epic, but, you know, Matt Damon was a star.
In it.
And it was American co-production, so, of course, they
had
a white star.
Right.
So, and the next DVD Blu-ray is Captain Underpants, the first epic movie. If you have young children,
my kid loved that.
Or
really?
Actually,
yeah, he did.
It's more middle grade, isn't it? Isn't it like sixth grade, or is it?
I don't know.
Or is it eight or
nine? He's eight. Yeah, so okay. He saw it. He liked it.
It comes at night. This is that low budget horror movie that I don't think any of us saw that one.
I think this was the one Mick Garris said he really liked.
He liked it. Yeah.
What comes at night?
So it.
What is it?
Don't worry about
it. I'll tell you. It's
not night, is it?
It's a great way to do a trailer. Like, if you watch the trailer, you're not sure what's going on.
Oh, okay.
Is it a zombie virus? Is it something? Do
they wait too long to reveal it?
So, well, I don't know. But Mick seemed to like it, though, so we're not sure.
Because I hate the. Just get to it. Show me the thing. I don't need to. You can show me parts of it. You don't have to show me the whole thing.
Right. From what I remember of when we had Mick Garris on the show a couple months ago, he seemed to really like it. It seems like, based on what you just said, you actually might like this movie.
Okay.
Beatrice at Dinner. Now, you saw this one.
Never heard of it.
I saw that very small budget movie with Selma Hayek. It's an interesting little film, little character piece. You know, it's almost all shot at this house during dinner. She's like a masseuse and, you know, is working at this rich person's house, and her car breaks down and ends up staying at dinner, and a bunch of crazy stuff is revealed. So I don't know. It's the kind of movie that I feel like isn't for everybody. I like some of the acting in it, but it's an interesting little indie movie that's like a nice little character study.
Cool.
Yeah.
And also we want to talk about on the site Spotlight. CJ has some reviews of It and Mother.
Is Mother out?
Not yet.
Do you want to premiere?
Because CG, he's in Australia, so he gets to see the movies a little earlier.
Mother looks fucking great.
It looks insane, yeah.
Okay, this is one of those things where there's a few directors, four or five, that get to make their movies.
Right.
They get to pick the movie they want to make, and they get to make it, and he makes good ones.
And he doesn't even make that many of them.
No, he doesn't.
So when it comes out, it's kind of an event.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that. Now, CG's review of it, I have to mention this because he completely went in the other direction. He didn't like it.
He didn't.
And he also didn't think it was scary, which I was thinking, I don't know what movies. I thought it was really creepy and scary. In fact, somebody threw up in the movie theater, like during the movie.
When we were there?
We were there, yeah. We were screaming.
At what part?
So I was one of the clown when it comes out. I think it was, we'll talk about it in the spoiler, but yeah. So he just thought it was kind of a you can read the review, but he was not in favor of the film. He didn't like it.
I want to go to Mother though, because so I've seen a couple trailers for Mother. We've talked about it before in the show, but last night when I saw it, they played this trailer for Mother that was like a 70s trailer.
Oh, really?
Like, this movie will make it as creepy. You know, like it was like that old school.
I wonder if Darren Aronofsky did his own trailer.
I think so. Yeah.
Of course.
That, to me, now I kind of want to see it after seeing that trailer. The other ones I was like, I don't know if this is for me. Everybody's in a wacky house going nuts.
You know what?
I don't know if that's actually the plot.
I think so. A bunch of people in a house.
Everybody's in a wacky house going
nuts. You know, Michelle Pfeiffer shows up. Now somebody drops some tea. What the fuck do I care, Jay?
You're thinking like of Amazing Stories.
Yeah. I think a trailer like that depends on the fact that you just want to see a movie made by Darren Aronofsky. Like, it's that kind of thing.
I do. You know, look, at the end of the day, if there's a fucking guy out there with all the Marvel movies and all the fucking studios trying to spin out their own worlds, if there's a guy doing a unique movie, we like almost have to go to that and give it money to support that idea.
Right.
And let it be successful so that
more of them can be
made. Because there are a handful of directors who they'll go, all right, whatever you want to do.
Yeah. Right.
And that's when you, like, I agree. Those directors you have to just go support, because even if it misses the mark, it'll be like, that's the most interesting fucking strikeout I've ever seen in my life.
Someone trying
I'm sure
something.
If he was listening right now, he'd be calling in going, you guys don't know what you're talking about. It was a bitch to make this movie. Nobody wanted to fund it.
Yeah. I actually didn't. A Black Swan, I didn't like.
Yeah, Black Swan wasn't for me. I was just like, that's my trepidation is like.
But The Wrestler was amazing.
The Wrestler is fucking
And I'll tell you, one of my favorite movies that he made was his first one, Pi. Still love Pi.
Pi is fucking great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. And
it's a low-tech sci-fi, just really.
I've liked a lot of his movies, honestly. Mm-hmm.
So
I just, like I said, there's a bunch of weirdos in a house. You
yeah,
know
yeah,
I mean?
No, that's actually how they're yeah. selling it. They're, yeah, come see the weirdos in a house and yep. Michelle Pfeiffer. Yeah.
Yeah. Jennifer Lawrence.
If I want to see weirdos in a house, I'll go to Thanksgiving.
Boo! What are we doing, dice, all of a sudden? Forget about it.
All right. So, and the other movie coming out is American Assassin.
I don't know what that is.
This is the Tom Cruise movie. This is...
Oh, fuck. No, yeah,
this isn't Tom Cruise.
No.
That's American Made.
No, that's What's American Made. American Assassin is...
Oh, right.
Is
this
a,
should have been Tom Cruise.
Is a thriller. Who's in this one, Aaron?
No, this is Michael Keaton.
Oh,
yeah. Michael Keaton. There's a young kid. It's based on a book. It looks, it could be interesting. It's based on a book. There's this kid, like a family member gets murdered by a terrorist. So he's like, I want to join special ops. And Michael Keaton is like the best special ops guy.
Right.
And he's like, I want to go after whoever the dude that killed.
Dylan O'Brien.
Yeah, so, you know, it's Michael Keaton, it's Dylan O'Brien, it's Sana Lathan, you know, Tyler Kitsch is in it. So, I don't know, it could be...
It really felt like it. Like, the trailer was, for sure, a by-the-numbers action thriller trailer. That was, like, there was literally nothing at all unique or original in the trailer. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean the movie won't be fun. It could be a fun action movie, like you're saying.
Sure, there's fun action movies all the time.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
I'm putting my faith in Michael Keaton.
Right.
Because yeah, Michael Keaton.
If this was Kevin Costner playing his role, I'd be like, nope.
All right, that is fair.
Right? Yeah, it's yeah. Keaton, so I'm like, I like him as a, like, I don't, have we ever seen him as this badass special ops training dude?
No, I don't think so.
So I feel like...
I think he's pretty selective, but I might be wrong about that, but I think he is.
I think he is, too. I think he kind of doesn't need... He's won an Oscar. He's in Big Budget. He's in Spider-Man. Like, he doesn't need to do this, so I feel like this could work.
He didn't win the Oscar.
Wasn't he nominated?
Yeah, but he didn't win.
Well, you know what, he should have, Aaron, and I don't think...
I mean, look, he did...
Guys like you shitting on his work.
He's a guy who had his career obliterated by Troy Miller, which a lot of people have, and... what was the name of the?
How was he?
Jack Snow.
This is a weird.
Jack Frost.
Jack Frost. Jack Frost was a Troy Miller production. Troy Miller is a director, and he's stolen from me. He's stolen from a lot of writers in town. He's a monster, and he's a producer on Arrested Development. He's a fucking piece of shit.
How do you really feel?
I wrote a script for him, and he took my name off and put his on and turned it in. So he stole overall probably about $30,000 from me in residuals, so he can go fuck himself.
Nice.
And then he ruined Michael Keaton's career with that fucking movie. Just a piece of shit fucking movie. He is a horrific director, and he'll take any script and turn it into shit. So
he directed
Michael
American
Keaton
Assassin?
Is Michael Keaton went through that process and disappeared for how many years?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Troy Miller drove him out of the fucking business for 15, 20 years, and now he's back and he's being very selective.
Isn't that giving Troy Miller a lot of credit for Michael Keaton's...
You don't know Troy Miller.
Yeah. But I'll tell you, I am enjoying the Michael Keaton resurgence. That, you know, everything.
It's great.
From, you know, to see him in these different different roles, and he's just, you know, he's I really liked him in Spider-Man too.
Well, there's also tons of fucking kids who have no idea who he is, and also he's just popping up, and he's super interesting and cool. You know,
doing all these different characters, all these different.
Yeah, there's
parts.
No kid watching him going, "That's the guy from Night Shift."
Yeah, nobody is.
Batman is, like.
Now he's fighting Spider-Man? How did that happen?
All right.
So well, those are the movies
that's,
coming up.
Yeah, that's all the movies to talk about. Dave, how's the dollop doing? What's going on with the dollop?
We're going on tour to Australia October 17th.
You mean Gareth, right?
Starts. You mean Gareth? Mm-hmm. We're doing a bunch of cities. And then I have an album coming out. 15th? I should know that. So what? I don't know, when's this coming out?
Today.
Oh, okay, today. So my album comes out on, is it 15th Saturday or is it Friday?
Friday.
And you had a movie come out today.
A movie?
Earbuds. Yeah. You're in a movie.
Oh, yeah, in a movie. I have, this movie, I've seen it so many times I forget that it comes out. Because to me it came out almost every day in my bedroom when I watch it before I go to sleep.
Oh, God, if I could make it play in your house every day, I could somehow do that. So where can people, if they want to go get tickets to Dollop shows?
If you want to go to dolloppodcast.com, that's where you can get all the tour stuff. You can pre-order my album now on iTunes and Bandcamp.
What's the name of the album?
Hothead. It's based on my one-man show in Australia. It's basically, if you know what Al-Anon is, it's an Al-Anon hour of comedy.
Oh, interesting.
I'm in. Yeah.
I did it 2 years ago. I wasn't happy with the actual sound recording, but then I decided to put it out anyway because I think it's... I showed it to a couple people, and they're like, it sounds all right.
Are you releasing audio and video on it?
No,
or just
no
audio?
Video. I've never done. You know what? I don't like video.
You hate watching yourself.
No. I don't like watching anybody. Yesterday I wanted to hear Bill Burr's new special, which was on Netflix. So I turned it on and then darkened the TV and just had it on.
Wow.
I don't like to watch stand-ups. I like to watch them live, but on TV with the cuts and the angles and all that, I would rather hear it and take it in that way than visually watch.
Hear the joke writing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So your album is pretty much a one-man show.
Yeah, well, I cut it down so it's less one-man showy than the actual one-man show is. So it's kind of bits. But there's a through line, and it's about my dad being an alcoholic. That's what the whole thing is.
Got
about.
It.
Yeah.
So check that
That's
out.
It's weird. Graham just turned into a puddle.
Yes. You know, Al-Anon's an untapped market.
It works if you work it. It's a fantastic program. Very helpful.
Yeah,
as
help me.
So, all right, and also the Los Angeles Podcast Festival, October 6th
Coming
through
up.
The 8th.
That'll I'll be cool. there.
You will be
yes.
there.
Yeah.
Any new shows to announce?
We just got. Oh my God! What's the KCRW one?
Oh, all things can. No, not. While Dave's looking that up, you will go to lapodfest.com.
To get tickets.
To get tickets, I think we put day passes on sale now.
Okay,
so you
great.
Get weekend and day passes. It's October 6th, 7th, and 8th. It's at the Biltmore Hotel. Yeah. I don't know if there's any hotel rooms left at their discounted rate.
Really.
Guest DJ Project. Oh, right.
And their guests will be My Favorite Murder.
Fantastic.
That's fantastic. And we're expanding, the podcast pros thing. If there's anybody out there that's more interested
in learning how to podcast and all the, getting advertisers and all those things, I actually just finished that programming grid. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of programs. It's a dual track of programs Saturday and Sunday. And we've got some live podcasts like Daily Tech News Show and also Chris Denson's podcast we're going to be doing live.
Innovation Crush.
So it's a really great program if you want to learn about podcasting too.
Yeah, and if you're a new podcaster and you're looking to expand your business or you work in the podcasting industry, which is a real term now.
It is.
Did you see we had upfronts?
Yeah.
I was just, that's the stupidest thing I've ever seen. Upfronts for podcasts, fuck off.
For real?
Yes,
that
they
really
did
happened.
It. Now
Where?
Hear this. Now hear this. Oh. Did their festival and they did it at the Javits Center because they learned from last year that don't do it in a big venue. So do it in the biggest venue in New York. What they did. So it was again giant empty spaces with a few people in them, and they did an upfront. That was their new idea.
Oh my God!
So they basically talked about podcasts they're going to have on Midroll. It's just a big marketing thing they
because
do for
they do seasons. Now, because the whole point is to emulate the old media.
I know. It's just like you're watching and going, this is old media. You don't do upfronts.
This is why
you don't need to do upfronts for podcasts.
Yeah. No, no.
It's just crazy.
They're already in the back. Yeah. There's no reason to
upfronts
announce.
Upfronts were a way, if people don't know what they are, all of the
to
networks.
TV shows.
Yeah. Just the 5-4 networks back then. Would have an event in New York, and they would invite all the press, and the actors would be there, and the writers, and they would all schmooze and try to get press for their show to get it out in front of all the other ones that were coming out at the exact same time.
Right.
So if you now apply that to podcasting, it doesn't make any fucking sense.
No.
And the other thing too, you have to retrain so many people, like, because they feel like we got to promote the release. No. Drop the content, get the content out there, and then promote.
Right. Right.
Like, we had this conversation with Earbuds. Everyone's like, oh, we should do. You guys should do a bunch of interviews leading up to September 12th. Like, no. After it's out, I go. Yeah. If I'm on Joe Rogan in January. Guess what? We'll sell a fuck ton of downloads.
Right, because it's there.
It's there. Yeah. It needs.
If you're on Joe Rogan in January and the movie's not available and it comes out a month later, you'll sell next to none.
No one's going to remember. They want to just go, oh, that sounds cool. Stop, buy.
Impulse buy.
And if you're doing upfronts for a podcast that's not coming out for 4 months, you're not doing anything.
Right.
I would spend that time recording a podcast and releasing it.
And maybe,
rather than organizing upfronts. That's one thing you could do. You could just find a recorder and start fucking talking.
And also, one of the things it was for is because it was a competition, because there was no recording. Like, oh, I can either watch NBC or ABC.
That's
these two shows that are on at the same time. I have to compete for your attention because you can only watch one.
Right.
Those days don't exist.
They don't exist anymore. You can watch whatever you listen to whatever you want, whenever you want. There's no, like, am I going to watch Dukes of Hazzard or Magnum P.I.? I don't know. That's a world we don't live in.
We don't live in that world with anything.
Yeah.
No.
Not even sports.
No.
Like, I mean, I the way I consume sports now, I mean, sometimes I watch it live. But sometimes I go, did my team win? Yeah, okay, I'm going to watch the game now. Because I don't want to get mad, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, I don't have to spend 3 hours and then get mad that my team lost.
I have turned on a game and my team starts losing and I go, oh, maybe I'll see if they won this. Check ahead and go, no, they didn't. I'm going to turn it off.
Yeah, I'm off. I'm just like, I don't want to.
It's actually a new way to consume sports.
Yeah,
it's totally new way. And now you can, like, I don't have cable. I have the Major League Baseball app on my phone, and that's how I watch the Cubs. And I have the WNBA app, and that's how I watch the LA Sparks. That's how I watch sports. I have an Apple TV, so sometimes I'll watch it that way.
Yeah.
Like, I'll watch Major League Baseball's app. Like,
that's how I do it. I watch it on TV through the app.
Right.
Yeah, because, like, the Cubs play a lot of day games, so sometimes I'll be working at home, and I just have the game on in the background, and that's cool. And I love the, like... And if it's a taped, that's how I'll watch it live. But if it's a tape delay, if I've already seen it, I can burn through the fucking commercials and watch the game in an hour and 16 minutes.
Well, it's just how you can, and I don't consume TV the same way.
Right.
I DVR everything until it's close to the season finale and then I burn through them.
Right.
And like
Game of Thrones,
like Westworld, I was like, oh, I'm just going to wait. And now I'm watching Westworld right now.
Right.
Because I can just watch them all whenever I want, as opposed to once a week.
Game of Thrones was the only exception that, like,
I agree, because there's so many spoilers.
Right. Like, that one I wanted to watch as soon as it came on. Like, I think what we would do is, like, it came on at 9. Kids went to bed at 9:30. We were watching it at 9:40.
Yeah.
So, and that's because the internet goes nuts the next day.
Totally.
Yeah. Don't go to Europe the day before the finale.
Because the water guy's selling the finale on a bootleg.
Yeah.
Hey, you want a water? Right here, we got water. The wall's gone. The wall's gone. You want water?
Los Angeles Podcast Festival. Political Vigilante will be doing its first ever live YouTube.
How are you going to do it? Are you going to do solo? Are you going to have a guest?
A guest. I'm going to make it a completely different thing, because the show right now is so solo because I just don't have the money for the tech. So I'm going to try to make it a little more interactive and have a couple guests on and talk some subjects. And maybe depending on what the tech, you know, maybe even put some new clips through my laptop to watch and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I got to find some guests to talk politics. I don't know if you want to run your yap hole about.
Yeah, I can do it. I have a lot to say about politics. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So go to LAPodFest.com, guys, October 6th through the 8th, and buy tickets for all this cool stuff. Aaron, you have something?
Is it streaming this year or no?
No stream.
No stream.
Only way to see it is to see it live.
Possibly the last year of the festival.
Could be.
So we're going to see how
it goes. If you enjoy the festival, get tickets.
Yeah, please support it.
Yeah.
Because that's how it survives.
Survived.
You've been listening to Cryptic Talk.
Was that cryptic? That did, that felt pretty.
Yeah, that was. That, didn't feel like that might go under foreshadowing.
That might go under bold prediction.
But yeah, we really need you guys' support on the festival, so please buy tickets. We got a lot of great shows. Like, you know, we're still adding some.
We're adding shows. We've sold more tickets than we did last year. Last year was a tough year. The festival itself was fun, but money-wise it was tough. This year we've sold more tickets. We've got a couple more sponsors, but, you know, it's a lot.
It still needs to be viable.
It still needs to be viable. And with all these big giant companies coming on, bringing these huge festivals and being able to pay all the acts giant money.
And be able to lose $100,000
and
on
just
a festival.
Lose. They could just write off.
They can lose $250,000. I mean, yeah. You know, now this lost a fortune last year.
Fortune, it didn't matter.
And they don't care because they're owned by a giant conglomerate.
And that and they, at the end of the day, they put it underneath a marketing budget.
And, yeah, it's just and, a write off. Yeah.
And there's a lot of podcasts who don't care and just go take that money and are happy that. In the end result is that the fans will be paying $400 for tickets.
Versus our $150, $180.
That'll be the end result. And then you can look at the podcast that do that festival instead of ours, and you know who they are.
Yeah. So when you're paying $400 for a weekend pass and the sense of community is gone, there you go. And you just can watch the cool community that lived long briefly at Earbuds, which is available on iTunes and all major digital platforms.
So buy your LA Podfest tickets now, and we will see you there in October.
We will be there. It's going to be a blast.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
It's always fun.
It is always fun.
If you want to be a volunteer, stuff like that,
That's on the website now,
it's on
right?
the website.
Yep.
So, all right,
I
Dave Anthony,
that's
it. Thank you so much.
Where can people find
you? In the World Wide Web.
I'm on at Dave Anthony on Twitter if you want to see someone screaming.
Are you in all caps all the time?
You can go over to Instagram where I just do funny stuff and no political stuff. And then
I've sort of done that with my Instagram. My Instagram is just sort of silly and fun, and then Twitter is just all like the corporate Democrats have ruined the country.
And then over on Facebook, you get my longer rants about why everything's ruined, which I'm also just Dave Anthony on there. I think Instagram, I couldn't get my name, so I'm like Dave_Anthony_.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Aaron, so glad to have you back in the States. We're glad you made it through customs. And, you know, thanks for wearing an earbud shirt today.
Always glad to support. I mean, you could have kept me in there for a little
bit. See, this is fucking, you make him weird. Everyone's bellyaching. Dave's in the movie. He doesn't even know if you're in it or not. Aaron got cut out and he's bellyaching. What the fuck? You can't win with this goddamn bullshit. Earbuds available on iTunes, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, and Amazon.
And Amazon. And of course, check out The Political Vigilante on the YouTube. Please watch this if you on YouTube as well, Comedy Film Nerd's YouTube channel. Like and subscribe. That helps YouTube's analytics get us more people into this universe. Our patreon.com/comedyfilmnerds.
Yep, please support that. That's been slowly growing. We really appreciate the support.
You get bonus content?
Bonus content, and as little as $5, you'll get bonus content. But if you just want to help out, you want to do $1 or $2, that helps too. The big bonus content is at the $10 here.
Yep.
So, and I just wanted to mention too, gotten a couple emails about how the graphic novel is going. It's been going really well, just a little bit slower than we'd like, but coloring is going on. It's going to be over 180 pages. Inking is done. Coloring and lettering are being done right now. And also listen to Conversations from the Abyss.
Yes.
That is in the new and noteworthy in the art section. Second episode, The Solicitor, has dropped with Dave Huntsberger and Michael Carnaccio.
Yeah, also, I forgot to say, Political Vigilante, I've also made it a podcast. I've taken the audio from it, so you can listen to Political Vigilante. It's in the news and politics section of iTunes. So check that out.
Conversations from the Abyss.
Who are you again?
Yeah.
Mansuni.
Close enough.
My name, thank you, Dave Anthony. Thank you, Aaron Brungart. My name is Graham Elwood.
And I'm Chris Mancini. And as always, remember,
Han shot first.